know who we're not hearing much from these days is the global warming crowd. It's 6 degrees below zero in the North Pole. And the global warming crowd had all our little school children crying because those poor polar bears don't have any place to, no ice to live on up there. And it's 30 degrees below zero in my wife's hometown in Illinois. 30 degrees below zero in Illinois, northern Illinois, and 6 below zero in the North Pole right now. So the global warming people are silent for some reason that I can't understand. Well, I don't want to get on that. Anybody's crazy to think that man controls the climate? I don't want to get on that. I'm going to preach on something else here tonight. But that's enough. I've said enough. Well, it's a privilege to be here back in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church again. Thank you, Brother Jody. And I'm going to preach till the Lord calls me home. And as long as I can crawl in the pulpit, I'll be preaching, lifting up Jesus and afflicting the saints a little bit. But turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Page 1281 in your Scofield Reference Bible, King James, the old King James Version. 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee, Paul's charging his young disciple, Timothy. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Now he's going to judge us first at the Bema seat. You know, Christians, we're going to face a judgment at the Bema seat as soon as we see the Lord. And he said, because the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's today, folks. We're living in the Laodicean church age. That's okay. Well, I'm glad there's still some old-time Christians around, though, born-again people. Love Jesus. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And where's the truth? In God's word. And shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege, one more time, this side of eternity, to open the old book and preach the word of God and try to lift up Jesus. Lord, help me tonight as I preach. I can't preach without your help. Lord, pray the Holy Spirit will touch me now and help me now. May the will of God be done, and may we feel your presence and get something eternal, some eternal truth for our soul here tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for many years, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church has been known all over this area and all over the Tri-City, and all over across the Southeast as a fundamental, Bible-believing, independent Baptist church. And I thank the Lord for that. I spoke a number of years ago now, for Dr. Guy Altizer at his church dedication down in Greenville, South Carolina area there. And he introduced me as his father in fundamentalism. And now, I fully realize that a fundamentalist is looked down on in academic and intellectual and even in religious circles today. They say we're funny mentalists and are fun down mentalists. They're oddballs. Now, I might get in that last crowd, the oddballs there. But God is blessing fundamental preachers and fundamental Bible-believing churches all across America and around the world. And the Lord's laid this on my heart to speak on fundamentalism tonight. And let's look at the word fundamentalist first. Webster says the word fundamentalist is a movement or attitude stressing strict and literal adherence to a set of basic principles. That sounds pretty good. Let me repeat that. Here's what a fundamentalist is. A movement or attitude stressing strict and literal adherence to a set of basic principles. So a fundamentalist is one who just sticks by the basics, sticks by the stuff of the Word of God. And a person in football who has been trained in the fundamentals, here's what he is. He's one who's had the basics of tackling and blocking and sound football drilled into them. And a fundamentally sound football team is one who sticks by the basics and doesn't resort to trick plays and gamble all the time. In the long run, a basic sound strategy is the way to coach or play any sport. Now, here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, for all these years I've been pastor, I've tried to lead our church in a fundamental Baptist, independent Baptist direction. Now, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud to be a Baptist fundamentalist. I'll confess it. I is one. But that simply means I stand for the basics of that old word right there, that book. And it also means I'm opposed, a fundamentalist is opposed to those who reject the fundamental teachings of God's Word. Now, on the Christian or Protestant scene today, there are many viewpoints or positions or camps, and I just want to mention just a few of them briefly. I can't go into full detail. But the first are the modernists and liberals, and they reject the Word of God as being inspired. That's what a liberal or a modernist is. They don't accept the miracles of the Word of God. They don't accept the supernatural working of God. They preach a social gospel. They're trying to save society and not trying to save souls. Society, I don't know where it's worse it's getting. It's not worth saving. The Lord's already got a program for that. He's coming back and going to make everything right. I'm looking forward to that. But I'm against liberalism and modernism with every ounce of strength I have in my body. When I left southern Mississippi after my junior year, went to preaching. I've told you this before, but it fits right here. I went over there, and as I would sat down for the first chapel, old Dr. Bob Sr., I'm glad I've told this many times, but I'm glad old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. hadn't gone to heaven before I got there and got to sit in his ministry. And that man, I mean, he'd stand up and say, and throw his hand like that and raise his leg and say, "Modernists are going to hell. Liberals are going to hell." And I agree with him, because if you don't believe the Word of God, there's no hope for you in this life or the life to come. So that's why I'm against liberals. Then, about to knock the baptistry over here. Heard of the man when the Presbyterian church went in and drunk the whole thing. He drunk the baptistry dry there. But let's get off of that. But anyway, the second group, and don't get me off on too many rabbit tracks here, but the second group today on the scene are the neo-orthodoxy. And they're just liberal wolves in conservative sheep's clothing is what they are. And they mix truth with error. You know, it's always dangerous to mix truth with error. That's a dangerous thing, and that's what the neo-orthodox do. And for instance, the neos say the Bible contains the Word of God. Folks, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That doesn't contain the Word of God. That is the Word of God. Thank God. And it is the Word of God. And then the third group on the scene today, you need to be aware of all this too. And it's evangelicalism. They're just weak Bible believers, evangelicalism is. And they would usually believe all the cardinal doctrines of holy living, but they won't take a stand against these liberals who deny that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. They hate fundamentalists more than they hate modernists. They think we lack love because we stand against the enemies of Christ. Then there's new evangelicalism. They're usually good men who believe in the basic doctrines of the Word of God, but new evangelicals tolerate the liberals, they tolerate worldly living, and tolerate new versions and translations and contemporary music. That's where new evangelism is headed. What they are compromising fundamentalists who emphasize the love of God, but not the holiness of God. Folks, God is a holy God. Be ye holy, God's word says, for I, the Lord God, am holy. And they speak out against the lack of love among fundamentalists. Some call them fundamental light. But new evangelicals could also be called conservatives now. And most, by the way, most of your radio and television preachers today are new evangelicals. And then the fifth crowd is the hated crowd of fundamentalism. And a fundamentalist believes the basic cardinal doctrines of God's word. And not only do, well, a fundamentalist believe it, then he'll oppose those who deny or reject the basic principles of the Word of God. And a fundamentalist, too, a real fundamentalist, will not support anyone, any of these characters, who do not believe this book. So that's what makes a fundamentalist. Now the question, what are the fundamental basic doctrines of God's Word? Now, here, right here, I'm looking for the clock. Right here is in front of me. But we believe in the fundamental doctrines of the Word of God. What are these fundamental? Now, usually, the biblical scholar, fundamental scholars say there's five fundamental doctrines and of the Word of God that we must believe in order to be a fundamental Christian. And the first one of these is the inspiration of the Word of God. And if, by the way, if you don't believe that the Bible is inspired, I mean, it is, it's all over as far as I'm concerned if you don't believe that. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture, not just some of it, all Scripture is inspired of God. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Thank God for an inspired book. Aren't you glad God gave us His thoughts in the Word of God? Help with it. Help that's going down through life, we can turn to God's Word and He's put it there to help us along life's pathway. We ought to get in that book every day. And so it is essential that one believes this is God's Word from cover to cover and there's no errors or contradictions. If you think there's errors or contradictions, you just don't rightly understand what's going on in the Word of God. And some liberals, and by the way, the Word of God, that is the battleground today. Liberals and some evangelicals have given up on the inspiration of Scripture. Now the second fundamental, if this is going to be a fundamental church or if you're going to be a fundamentalist, the second of the five fundamentals is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the first chapter. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, start at verse 18. I'm going to read it. There are four verses there. Page 994, Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? God has a great plan for us. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, sweetest name on mortal tongue, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. So the virgin birth, the liberals, they croak at the virgin birth. Oh, they just can't take it because they don't believe and can't accept the virgin birth is that they do not believe in the supernatural working and supernatural power of God. Christianity, as far as I'm concerned, rises and falls on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, that's a great truth, folks. Then the third of the five, if you're going to be a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist, the fifth that you have to believe, and is first is the inspired Bible. If you're going to be a fundamentalist, you've got to believe it's inspired from cover to cover. It's the Word of God. And second, you've got to believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost. You've got to believe that. And third, the substitutionary atoning death of Christ on the cross for the sins of all mankind. Now, that's, folks, that's probably the greatest doctrine in the Word of God. And the liberals call it slaughterhouse religion. But if you ever get to heaven, you're going to have to believe that Jesus came into this world, hung there, and bled and died, and shed his blood and died so your sins could be covered. Now, let me finish my notes right here. You're going to have to believe. But if you want to get saved and make it to heaven, you're going to have to believe that Jesus died for your sins. He shed that blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The night I got saved as a 13-year-old boy, I didn't realize it all. But that night, my sins, past, present, and future, were under the blood, Brother Jody. That's what happens when you get born again and receive Christ sincerely. Your sins, past, present, and future. Well, preacher, what about when you sin? That's just fellowship. That doesn't do anything about relationship. I'm glad of that. But the blood Jesus shed on the cross wipes the record clean. I better keep on preaching here. The blood of Jesus shed on the cross wipes the record clean for every one of us who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? What is it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's all. Thank God. And that, folks, that is the cardinal doctrine of our faith right there. Then also the fourth of the five fundamental doctrines you must believe if you're going to be considered an independent fundamental Baptist is the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the grave. The angel told the two women who came to the grave of Jesus on that first Easter Sunday morning, I'm glad the report is he's not here, he's risen. I'm glad of that report. He's not here, if he is risen. And the bodily resurrection of Jesus is so important because it proves? It proves the sacrifice of Jesus was accepted by God, and it gives us hope beyond the veil of tears. Thank God. Jesus said in John 11:25-26, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he said, whosoever liveth, and I'm living, and whosoever liveth and believeth, and I have believed on him, and whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. All of us ought to stop up, start right now, and just get up and praise the Lord right there. If you've accepted Jesus and his blood has taken care of your sins, and you can go out of this life and face God, and he'll be waiting to receive you on the other side. Thank God. Then the fifth of the five fundamental doctrines you have to believe if you're going to be called a fundamental independent Baptist is a literal return of Jesus back to this earth. The angels told the disciples in Acts 1:11, this same Jesus, I have to stop just rejoicing my heart over this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. I'm glad that the night I got saved, I've told this many times in this pulpit, but I can't get over it. Deacon put his arm around me and said, "Gene, will you trust Christ?" And I said, "Yes." And I didn't go to get saved, but that's the night in God's sovereign purpose. I'm not a Calvinist now, but I believe in the sovereign purpose of God. He gave a 13-year-old boy the chance to be saved that night, and I'm glad I said yes. I don't know where I'd be if I'd said no, Brother Jody. I don't know where I'd be. Probably been in hell somewhere. But I'm glad I said. Then when I went, Daddy, Mama, we walked back. We didn't have a car in the family, so we walked everywhere we went. And when we got home, Mama told Daddy Gene got saved tonight. And I went and laid down on the bed. And I've told this hundreds of times probably here. But there I looked out, beautiful moon. And I was the Holy Spirit working in my heart, and I didn't realize it. But I thought, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if Jesus would come back tonight? Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And fundamentalists believe that one day Jesus is coming back to this earth. And that is going, folks, that's going to be the greatest event the world has ever seen, when Jesus comes back. When he comes back and raptures out the church, the angels will bring all of the, the Jews from around the world in there, and Israel going to be saved as a nation in a day, and we're going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. What a wonderful thing the second coming of Christ is. And let me get back up there. And I think it's the greatest event the world has ever has seen or ever will see. And it'll bring much glory and honor. Think of the honor, the second coming of Christ, the glorious honor it'll bring to God and to his Christ. Thank God. Now, if you believe that these five fundamental basic doctrines of the Christian faith, and you will not, now this is the key, and you will not yoke up nor support those who reject them. Now, I'll be kind to them, but I'm not going to send money. Never have been for sending money to a seminary professor to put biscuits on his table who would deny and say there are errors and contradictions in the Word of God. I'm not going to do it. And if you're a true fundamentalist, if you're a true Bible believer and love God, love his word, you don't want to do that. You don't want to support them either. So a fundamentalist not only believes these great doctrines, but he defends them. And if you believe these five basic doctrines and you will not defend them, now what are you? You're a conservative probably, or an evangelical. Now I am not a conservative. I'm not an evangelical. I'm a fundamentalist. I want you to know I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. That doesn't surprise you, but I just want to nail this down one more time before I go home to be with the Lord, that this is a fundamental church, and Brother Jody believes that too. He believes in the fundamentals of the faith. Now, let me give you, I've got a few minutes left. Let me give you seven brief reasons I'm a fundamentalist. First of all, because my heritage. I grew up in a home, and my parents believed in the old-time religion. And I grew up around preachers. All of them believed the Bible and fought sin with a stick. So, I mean, where I grew up, I didn't have a chance but be anything but a fundamentalist. And I'm thankful the heritage I have. And listen, you young people are here. If any young people here tonight, are there young people in here? You ought to thank God if you've got a mother and a father who love the Lord and believe the Bible. You ought to thank God for it. And then the second reason that I am a fundamentalist, I believe God's word. When I was a boy, you know, everybody in Saudi, all the churches, all of them, Methodists and Episcopalians and all of them used the King James Version at that time. But if you believe this old book from cover to cover, you're a fundamentalist. Now, I believe, I don't understand it all, and you don't either. But I believe it all. I believe what I understand, I believe what I don't understand, because it's true. Then third, the third reason I'm a fundamentalist, I'm willing to defend God's word. I must stand up when God's word is attacked, folks. I cannot be silent when my Jesus is belittled. We are to earnestly, the Bible says, earnestly contend for the faith which is delivered unto the saints. Earnestly. Now we can do it with the right attitude. We don't have to be like an old bull yearling, but we have to take a firm stand. I can do it. You can do it in love. When you can do it, if they don't like it, just say, well, that's what I believe. It's what God's word teaches. But move on. I'm a fundamentalist, fourthly, because I will not yoke up in any way with unbelievers. I decided that, and I talked to the deacons when I first here and said, if we don't go become independent Baptists, I'm leaving, because I'm not going to pay the salary of a seminary professors who don't believe the Word of God any longer. And so they said, we're waiting on you, preacher. But that is why I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. I will not yoke up in a denomination or an organization with those who don't believe the Bible. And I will not play footsie with the enemies of Christ. I just won't do it. Now let me give you three or four verses in the Bible that clinch this to you. Turn over to Psalm 119:63. Psalm 119, page 659 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Psalm 119:63. I'll wait till you get there. Psalm 119:63. I am a companion. If you don't have it, just listen. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The psalmist would run around the right crowd, wouldn't he? He is running around to those that fear God and keep his precepts. That's what we want to do. Then turn over to Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which you have learned. And what does it say? Send them money? Cooperate with them? No. Avoid them, he says. That's what we ought to do as a church. Those that do deny the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. Then look at Ephesians. Back to Ephesians. The fifth chapter. Ephesians 5. Verse 11, page 1254, Ephesians 5, 11. Ephesians 5, 11. I'm just waiting to get there, just another moment or two. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Then let me give you just one to turn over to little 2 John. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation, in the back of the New Testament. 2 John. 2 John, page 1326. 2 John 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now listen to this. If there come, this is the inspired word of God, inspired with the Holy Ghost. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, so the word of God is clear. First, it's clear a child of God must separate himself from unbelief, from an unbeliever. And second, the Word of God is clear that a child of God should not support in any way those who do not believe in these cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. Then fifth, the reason I'm a fundamentalist, I will not yoke up with those who support liberals. Now, they call that secondary separation, call it what you will. I won't yoke up with those who support liberals. Even though they say, well, I believe the Bible, but they go ahead and support liberals. I don't believe in talking out of both sides of your mouth. If you believe the Bible, you ought not support those who don't. You need to put your money where your mouth is. And then I'm a fundamentalist sixth. Now, Brother Jody, I appreciate your emphasis this year on this. Because, folks, here is really here's the answer, Brother Jody. It's the answer to the Christian life. I'm a fundamentalist because I want to please the Lord. I want to please Jesus. Don't you want to please Jesus, folks? Then I want to do that which is pleasing in His sight. And I'm not going to fraternize with the enemies of my Lord. Now, you can if you, it's up to you. But I'm not. I want to hate what He hates and love what He loves. And I don't want to face God with yoking up with liberals and compromisers. I don't want that on my record. We've got enough we're in this old body, fleshly body, carnal nature, but I don't want to face God with yoking up with liberals and compromisers on my record. Then seventh reason that I'm a fundamentalist, because now this is so important. I believe that man has an immortal soul. Every one of you. Now this is, I know it's cold outside and I didn't expect this many here. But I was going to preach this way. If there's 10 or 20 or 2,000, I'd preach this way. But I believe every one of us sitting here tonight has an immortal soul that's going to live somewhere forever. You think, boy, when you're young, you don't think much about that. But you're going to live somewhere forever. And unless a man gets under the blood and gets saved, he will miss heaven and he'll split hell wide open. So tonight in this crowd, if you're here and you're not saved, I mean, if you die right like you are, you'd go to hell. Now, I say that in love. I don't want, Christ died for you. You don't have to go to hell. But I can, as a fundamentalist, I can stand up here and say that God loves you. Aren't you glad? I'm glad a little boy, 13 years old, God loved me enough to save me many years ago. He loves you. God, and listen, every one of you in this building, Christ suffered and bled and died on Calvary's cross. Shed His blood for your sins and mine. So you don't have to go to hell. Just open your heart. And Jesus will save you if you'll just call on Him. He'll save you. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, oh, what a great verse, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad of that? Now, he said, preacher, do you understand what you're doing? Not you got saved. No, but I got saved. But the Lord knew that. But all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to understand all about everything. I knew there's a heaven and a hell, and I didn't want to go to hell. As a 13-year-old boy, thank God. Thank God. Oh, He saved me that night. And He's been with me down through the years. Now let me wind this thing up. Folks, be here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I know Brother Jody wants this too. Be a fundamental Bible-believing Independent Baptist, King James user, and God, listen, God will bless you all your days on this earth if you'll do that. And then love Jesus. Get self out of the way. I'm up here trying to be faithful to the Word of God, and I want to please Jesus tonight. And I hope to please you, but I want to please Him first. Then I work on pleasing you. But love Jesus. You know, go down through life, folks, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Just make much of Jesus. I'm starting to sing. There is a name I love to hear. Lead us in that, Brother Gary. A name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweet, lift it up, all over, shake this building. Oh, how love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how Jesus, because he first loved me. Now, folks, just go down the rest of your days if you're saved. Just go down through the rest of your life just bragging on Jesus, and you'll have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. Then I'm coming to close now. I'm going to bring three things together. And these are some admonition from old preacher Lashley. Love this book. Fall in love. Oh, love that book. I've said many times, I love it so much, I like to take a little salt and pepper and take a bite of it sometime. You ought to love the Word of God. I'm glad that I started reading the Bible through my godly Sunday school teacher. Got me reading the Bible through in 1 year. Been doing it ever since 15 years old. And folks, you can do it. Everybody can do it. A lot of people have been doing it. Brother Jack Mosier started reading when he came here. He bought his read the Bible, but he started reading the Bible through. And it was exciting to him to read it through. But then also, love the souls of men. Love the souls of men. You don't have to beat on them and insult them. You know, what you need to do is learn to weep over people that are lost. You've got a friend that maybe is lost and you can't do anything. Just go to him and ask God to give you a broken heart and say, weep over them. Say, I don't want to see you lost. You're my friend. I want you to I want to see you in heaven. I don't want you to miss heaven. You are, and get a broken heart. Then walk with God. Walk with God. And you know how to walk with God? It starts also with brokenness. Get broken before God. And get with him every day in fellowship and have a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Then look, I'm coming just about through. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. And make up your mind, you'll never, never, never fall into sexual sin. If you don't make up your mind, you will. Make up your mind. When I came here as pastor, I told this many times. I heard it over at our Shoretown Baptist Church. He told the young preacher, he said, keep your hands off of the women and off the money of a church, and you'll make it. And that God spoke to me right there. Do that. Keep your hands off the women, off the money. I never would count the money here. Never would write a check. I just led the financial program. That's what Brother Jody doing. I appreciate it, Brother Jody. And then I never went in the home with only the woman there. Never got in the car with them. Never put my hands on the women. I shake their hand. And that, you said, people, they laughed at me down here. Here to the store when they found out I did that. But the thing is, here I am all my life, and I've been true to my wife and true to the Lord. And here's one thing. I'm about, Brother Jody, I'm going to be through in just shortly. But become here, listen, folks, now listen, every one of you saved. Become a man or woman who knows how to get a hold of God. Now there'll come a time when no one can see you through but God. And the Lord led me to this church. I've told this many times, but it fits right here. And I got here and God started blessing. And the devil didn't like it. And they started threatening my life, threatening to run me off. And I had a wife and two kids and one on the way. And the Lord was going to teach me that he could help me in time of need. And I'd go over on the lake. My wife, I told you before, she'd say, Gene, you shouldn't go over there. I mean, they were threatening to kill me, and they told her, your husband's going to be killed. I went up, she said, Gene, don't go over there. They know you go over there, and they might be waiting. I said, I'm not going to let the devil's crowd scare me out of praying. And I've said before, I looked behind every bush and everything when I got over there. You would too. But the thing is, the Lord, by prayer, God saw me through that situation. And the Lord can see you through any situation in life if you'll just turn to him. He'll help you. See you through it or around it or move it. And so learn to get a hold of God. And God will bless you all the days of your life on this earth. That you'll have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. And you'll hear, I want every one of you to hear one day, I want the Lord to tell you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You ought to live with that in mind. And God will bless you, and you won't regret it when you see Jesus. Well, that's what the Lord laid on my heart, Brother Jody. I'm going to turn it over to you for an invitation, or however you want to take it from here.
Well, that's Preacher Lastly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just faithful. Thank the Lord for it. Tremendous message for Wednesday night. Good reminders. This is where we stand. This is who we are. Unapologetically so. And if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't even understand this, you're like, I don't even know what that means. Don't worry about that. You just keep coming. You'll learn. No doubt about it. And we're just excited that you're here tonight. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. I never want to let a service come and go without giving folks the opportunity to trust the Lord as their personal Savior. So as they begin to play through softly, if you need to be saved, you come. Or maybe tonight God, as a Christian, has spoken to your heart about just being faithful. Just be faithful. If God wants you to come, I want you to come. Would you do that? This way.